I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
That's right, grow stronger. I think people like our bumpers.
You got it.
Raining on, you know, raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold your head up high.
Because we're Catholics.
Yeah, people love it. This is the Terry and Jesse Show, UFC, Ultimate Faithful Catholics. You thought I was going to say Ultimate Fighting Catholics. Yeah, we fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
We don't waste our time in any other childish endeavors. We're fighting for the salvation of our church, the salvation of souls. And even, Terry, trying to reboot our country, you know, we want to pray America great again. That's what I did last night. I went with my wife to the state capitol.
Good.
We stood in front of the state capitol, my wife and I, and did a holy hour. We prayed prayers of minor exorcism, deliverance prayers, me and my wife, Anita.
Good.
Over the state capitol. It was empty. We're just there right there. A few Protestants, really. I think I was the only Catholic. And we're praying for conversion and healing. And I just... I think everybody, don't forget, the Bible says to pray for those in authority. You can pray from your house. You don't have to drive to the state capitol. I just did because it's not that far from me.
Absolutely. Jesse, before we get to the gospel, I want to tease everybody. This is going to be an interesting show. We're going to talk quite a bit about the crisis, how it brings the worst and the best in people. We're also going to be talking about Joe Biden. He's calling killing babies an essential care act. We're also going to be talking about the governor of New York, Governor Cuomo. And also, I want to talk about a connection in the show regarding Bill Gates, and we call it the COVID-19 response team. This is going to be fascinating. You're not going to want to miss what we have to say about that. And also, Jesse, I want to talk just for a minute about Bishop Athanasius Schneider's comments about this punishment. He thinks that it's coming from God, at least his permissive will. And then the head of the German bishops are not going to believe what he said regarding the COVID-19 issue and what else he said about it. It's almost like the German bishops have just gotten to a planet, you know, that's out of our galaxy and coming up with a new teaching on the Catholic faith. And so we need to pray for them. But let's get to one of my favorite gospel verses out of the Gospel of John 6, Jesse. We've got it memorized in our heads because we've talked about this so many times. This is the mass reading for today's date, John 6. Go ahead, Jesse.
By the way, today's the feast day of St. Pius V, who gave us the Latin Mass in 1566. St. Pius V, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Here it is, John chapter, speak, Lord, your servants are listening.
Mm.
Jesus said to the crowds, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. That's an important section there because that shows what the Council of Trent taught about justification, that God is the one who initiates the relationship we have with him, the intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
God initiates through grace, and we respond. So that's right there in the very first verse of John 6:44. It's basically enunciates the Catholic view of justification. It goes on. Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Again, there we see Trinitarian theology. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how you got certain Protestant denominations called the Oneness Pentecostal say there is no Trinity. Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. They teach modalism. That's heresy. There are three distinct persons within the Godhead, and we see that all over New Testament theology. It goes on to say, not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. By the way, that's why I reject the position that Muslims say that Muhammad was carried to heaven from Jerusalem and that he was carried to heaven and he saw God. That's not true. That's false. Jesus Christ has told us here, nobody's seen God except me. So the Muslim claim that Muhammad was transported in this dream by night over to see the face of Allah is false. It says, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. That's a direct reference, by the way, to the Holy Eucharist.
Amen.
Your ancestors, he's talking to the Jews here, ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread, he's pointing to himself here, that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. So they're wondering, like, what's he talking about? Then he says, he clears it up. He didn't say over there in the store, in the market, or in the, you know, at the swap meet. He says, I am the living bread. In other words, what he's just been talking about, he goes, that's me, guys, right here. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread, now he's referring to himself again, will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And Jesus Christ, because he's God and he can do anything, he's the one that in the Last Supper, he showed the apostles how this miracle will be perpetuated until the end of time. At the Last Supper, which is the first Mass, Jesus Christ, by the power of his spoken word, will change that bread and wine into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. As St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine say, when he held the matzah up after he spoke the sacred words, he was holding himself up in his fingertips. That's from two doctors of the church. And people say, that's impossible. Well, yeah, for you it's impossible. Matthew 19:26. For God, nothing is impossible, and Jesus is God. And Jesus Christ, at that moment, those 12 apostles now, he ordained them right there. The words that he speaks are words of ordination. And so now he confers upon those 12 in the room the power to perpetuate what he just did at the Last Supper until he comes back at the second coming. And if people don't think the second coming is close, I'll tell you one thing. One of the things we know, one of the five things we know that has to happen before Jesus Christ comes back, there's the love of many is going to grow cold. There's going to be a great apostasy. Many Catholics will fall away from the faith. And if you want to see evidence of that, just look at the German bishops.
Jesse, I want to just mention, this is the verse I tell people when they say their son, their daughter, their relative left the Catholic Church to join a Protestant church. I always ask them, read John 6 and say, look, for the first 1,500 years, the church, the Christians all believed that that was the real body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. It wasn't until, you know, the 16th century when Martin Luther changed all that. And so I would just ask them this question. Would you really want to leave for a symbol when you can have the real Jesus? And that's what I encourage people, because the Catholic Church teaches so clearly about the Eucharist as being the source and summit of the Christian life. So that's a great verse to memorize.
And that's why it's such a tragedy,
yeah,
what's happening right now. Because,
are you kidding?
The bishops, the successors of the apostles, who I know have been taught this, whether they all believe it or not at this point, I don't know. They've been taught this, and the fact that they have succumbed to the government and they're withholding the greatest gift on planet Earth, God himself, especially to the ones that are sick and dying, this is something I'm going to tell you, Terry. I wouldn't want to be one of those bishops at my particular judgment to stand before Almighty God and to say, yep, I'm a successor of the apostle with the full power of an apostle, and I withheld you from my people because I was listening to the government based on the expert testimony of Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci.
Well, Jesse, I'm like that. Yesterday we talked about St. Joseph as the model for all bishops, priests, lay people, all of us. And I just don't see the saints doing that. And that's what we're called to be, saints. So I would agree with you on that. I want to bring in talk about bishops who spoke the truth in charity and clarity. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, would you please come into the studio? Full Sheen ahead on Virgin Most Powerful. This is a comment I've had over the years by Bishop Sheen. He says, there is no other subject of which the average mind is so much confused as the subject of tolerance and intolerance. Bishop Sheen says, tolerance applies only to persons, but never to principles. Intolerance applies only to principles, but never to persons. Jesse, he said that in 1931. This is 2020, and it still applies, because you know why, Jess? What Bishop Sheen is preaching is the truth, and the truth doesn't change.
Here's the irony, Terry, is that in the month of April, today is the last day in the month of April,
mm-hmm.
And in the month of April, the Catholic Church dedicates it to the Holy Eucharist.
Right.
To devotion to the Holy Eucharist.
Absolutely.
And I hope that everybody that's been listening to the show, I hope you're cultivating your love for Jesus and the Eucharist. Here's some. See, I'm kind of blessed here in Arizona. All the churches are pretty much open, so we can go and pray every day, and people are doing that.
Yeah,
and praise God. And the chapels are open as well.
Praise God.
Yeah, so there's no mass other than the SSPX is going to mass, having masses, and I heard that they're full out there. That's what
I imagine they would.
A lot of my friends.
Sure.
But the fact is, there's a lot of Catholics in other states. They park their car and go to their church because they know Jesus is inside, locked up as a prisoner of love.
Right.
The founder of Eucharistic Adoration, that priest that you brought into the
Father Martin Lucia.
Yeah, he was fond of saying that, prisoner of love inside the tabernacle.
Yep.
A lot of Catholics are just parking their cars in the church and standing right outside the church and praying to Jesus because they know he's inside.
Yep.
Kind of like the Blessed Virgin Mary. Remember in the movie The Passion of the Christ when Jesus is in a dungeon and he's in chains and Mary goes and she knows he's beneath him. And she puts her ear to the ground.
Yeah.
And he's looking up because he knows his mother is right over with her, on her all fours, with her ears to the ground, trying to listen to her son.
Wow, that's such an image. Oh my.
Yeah, that's the way, as Catholics, we should be doing. Go to your parish.
Yeah.
Be like Mary.
Yeah.
And just stand there because you know Jesus is inside, a prisoner of love. And start talking to him and worshiping him. Terry?
When we come back tomorrow, the next segment, a crisis brings out the worst in people and the best. We're going to talk about that here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We appreciate everything you do. And tell your friends at this break to tune in because we've got some interesting things to share about the gospel with you and your family. We'll be right back. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse Show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle, and he says to me, "Hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show, and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the Mass in the morning. He's an on-fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio."
Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith, we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Charles Dickens once wrote this line in a book. It's called The Tale of Two Cities. He said, These are the best of times, and these are the worst of times.
Amen.
I think that title of his book, I think it describes this present darkness pretty accurately.
Yep.
There's a great article. It's called A Crisis Brings Out the Worst and the Best in People. And if you've noticed over the past few weeks, the United States, our country, has been hit hard. I don't know how hard it's been hit. I think the numbers are going down, but this article said it's been hit hard by a crisis that's unparalleled in recent history. The coronavirus is affecting all aspects of American daily life, from the shutting down of local businesses to the introduction of stay-at-home orders, which, by the way, is unconstitutional, if you ask me, just constitution.
Makes sense.
So when institutions begin to break down, when this crisis started, many Americans were unprepared for the rapid change in daily life, and a lot of people panicked, rushing to stores to stock up on groceries and taking all the toilet paper. And the virus's rapid and devastating progress impacted a lot of cities like New Orleans, New York City, which are hotspots in the number of cases of this virus. And situations like this can be dangerous. Hospitals and businesses strained to keep up with the crisis, and local and federal governments implemented panicky last-second emergency measures that don't work. People, unfortunately, can lose faith in their institutions. And the best and the worst come out in people. Likewise, the best and worst solutions start to appear, whether it be a more bureaucratic government or an organic Christian workarounds. Terry?
Jesse, I just want to say that we have also some craziness going on here in California. You're in Arizona, which is a great state to be in because you have so many more freedoms right now. But California is the state with increasingly, I'll just say it, socialist profile. Police in Southern California, where I live, recently announced it would look into using drones to monitor the lockdown. In other words, Jesse, how would you feel having some drone in your backyard? You come outside and they go, ah, we caught you. Give me a break.
When there's real crime going on,
yes,
and police departments in California are going to expend money on looking at what Terry Barber is doing if he's 6 feet apart away from his neighbor. This is crazy.
Yeah. Well, not only that, in Los Angeles, the mayor, Eric Garcetti, made the astonishing decision to reward people who rat on businesses not complying with government regulations, while people should follow legitimate government directives, using citizens as the means of policing businesses only breaks down the trust. You talk about trust. Jesse, I'm going to tell it right now. There's no trust, because think of what's happening into the hospitals right now. Half of the hospitals in America are on the verge of closing. Why? Because of this crisis. Because people are not going in for their heart surgery. They're not going in for this elective surgery. These guys can't keep their doors open without customers. And so the effect of this virus, can you imagine how many people are going to die or have, I mean, this is tragic, Jesse.
Yeah, Terry, I just read another article that 2 million people die of starvation every year on planet Earth.
Yeah,
that's not a small number.
No, that's horrible.
2 million people die. Well, guess what? A lot of the third world countries, India, you know, a lot of these other third world countries, they're reporting that death of starvation is increasing in their country.
Of course.
Because a lot of their countries, the economic engine that basically fuels the rest of the world's economy is the United States. So because the United States is shut down, there's even more of a shortage of supplies in third world countries of food. And so, Terry, there's already 2 million people that die a year of starvation on planet Earth. That dwarfs how many people have died of COVID-19.
Of course. And Jesse, every life is
going to go higher now,
yes,
Terry.
Of course.
It's going to go higher because of the U.S.
Absolutely. Lockdown. But we're burning the village down with the solution, supposed solution. And it's not. I'll give you another example, Jesse. The village needs to work. That's how people get food. And the mailman just got murdered by somebody at the house, in a house. Yesterday, I got the report where he didn't get his stimulus check, and he blamed the mailman, so he got his gun out and shot him. Now, would that have happened if everybody was working? No! So here's my point, and I argue this with good people, and they say, no, we have to just, you know, be obedient and follow the instructions. Well, you know, we have to also realize the emperor has no clothes on. Okay, when that happens. And what I would say right now is the solution to the problem is worse than the virus. Because think about it, Jesse. Come on, we talked about this. 1% of the people who get the virus die. Now, every death is important. But when we had the flu, when we had other problems with healthcare, did we shut the economy down? No. And I'm just going to say it, Jesse. I repeat it. This is politically motivated to stop Trump from getting his second term in office because, and I'll just say it again, the unborn. He's going to pick on getting Supreme Court justices to be pro-life. Mm-hmm. And the other side says, you know, we'll do whatever it takes. I don't care how many deaths. Stop the economy. We can't have Trump a second term. We'll do anything to stop him. And that's sad to have to say that, but you can see it. The writing is very clear. So what am I saying? Yes, we've got generous people. I have a daughter delivering food right now every night to people who need food. Now, great, she's generous in doing that. But, you know, I prefer that she didn't have to do that. If everybody was working, that in itself wouldn't be an issue. And that's the bottom line is when you stop the economy, you're going to not only hurt family life, you're going to be, I'd just say people will die from this because they can't provide for their family and suicide is up. All these ailments are up. And the other issue, Jesse, I'll just say it real quick and then I'll throw it back. People aren't healthy because when they stay indoors, they're going to be living in a bubble and their immune system goes down. I didn't say it. Doctors say it. It's common sense. Yep. You don't quarantine healthy people, Jesse.
Yep. There's a spike in alcohol consumption.
Of course.
There's a spike in marijuana consumption.
Marriage
there's
problem.
There's a spike in domestic violence.
Yep.
People beating each other up at home.
Yep.
There's a spike in suicide. The fact is, Terry, this is not good for anybody. This is a lose-lose situation. What the government's done, and by the way, the government is just following these medical professionals. They're basically running the country. And Bill Gates, of course, funds a lot of this for the World Health Organization. He's good friends with Dr. Fauci and a lot of the shot callers, a lot of the medical advisors. And so, let's not be honest. Let's be honest. Bill and Melinda Gates, they masquerade as doing a lot of good, but in reality, they do great evil. Okay?
Absolutely.
In case you didn't know, Bill and Melinda Gates just recently announced at the Global Family Planning Summit that they're going to give $375 million to control the population over the next 4 years by abortion and contraception.
Yeah.
But guess what? They've increased their donations by 60%. Okay. They're giving 60% more of their money that they've given in the past for global abortion and contraception. So again, this guy is tied into Dr. Fauci's medical corruption. And this is dangerous for all of us because basically we have a billionaire who's the puppet master for these medical experts telling the president how to run the country. And the president, unfortunately, he's like between a rock and a hard place, Terry.
Well, let me just lay it out. The White House COVID-19 response team is made up of 12 individuals, including the president and the vice president. Among them is Dr. Anthony Fauci, who you just mentioned, who is on the leadership council of the Bill Gates Foundation. We've said that before. Now, he is a board member of the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, Malaria, which was founded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Robert Redfield, the current director of the CDC and the co-founder of the Institute of Human Virology, received $31.8 million from Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Here's the problem, Jesse, that these people are funding all the wrong things. Bill, here's the commissioner of the FDA, Stephen Hahn, partnered with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in 2017. But here's something that really bothers me. Stephen Mnuchin was the member of the Skull and Bones partnered with George Soros. These guys are bad people, Jess. And check this out. The remaining two members have globalist ties, however, not pertaining to Bill Gates. But check this out. I just found this out today. Bill Gates' father was one of the board members of, guess what, Jesse? Planned Parenthood in 1995, which is known for the eugenic practices. Bill Gates has been quoted on numerous occasions where he makes claims that we live on an overpopulated planet. Jess, do I need to say more?
Oh, yeah. Well, again, he says that we have to reduce the population on planet Earth by 1 billion people. He's on record as saying that. And I'll tell you, I feel bad for our president. I'll tell you what. Newsmax reported that President Trump is the victim of malpractice by medical advisors, and these medical advisors are beholden to Bill and Melinda Gates. So that's how it trickles down. But going back to the article and talking about California in particular, Mayor Garcetti, he's happy. He wants to turn people into snitches against their neighbors. Can you imagine, Terry, the family feuds, the family fighting in neighborhoods?
Oh, yeah.
When they found out that across the street, you know, the Robinson family called the police, called West Covina police on the Barber family.
Yep.
This is what Mayor Garcetti is fomenting. This is a powder keg.
Yep.
And when you had the conservative governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, when he decided to ban abortions in his state of Texas, you talk about government overreach. The New York attorney general that has no business in Texas took legal action against Texas and got 19 other liberal attorney generals from around the country to stop to start legal action to stop Texas from blocking abortion services. Are you kidding me? I mean, you talk about what's ever happened to states' rights?
Yeah.
You know,
out the door.
I thought Governor Abbott could run his state as he saw fit according to the will of the people, not according to the will of New York. These are flagrant examples.
Serious
and demonstrations.
Yep.
How the left is exploiting this crisis to implement an agenda that rejects God and is trying to destroy what's left of a Christian civilization in our society. And while desperate situations can favor the left's agenda, there are also opportunities for solutions that favor a return to a Christian social order. And that's where we come in. We want to bring in a Christian social order that can be defined as a social order oriented towards the common good that naturally and spontaneously develops, allowing man to pursue the perfection of his essentially social nature through the family, through intermediary groups, through the state, through the church, and also by the dignity of going to work.
Well said, Jesse. When we come back, I want to point out the differences between Joe Biden and President Trump. Why? Because Joe Biden repeats himself. He says he's calling killing babies and abortion essential health care. This cannot be delayed. See, that's why I just said yesterday on Church Militant, mic'd up yesterday, it'll be coming out, that if you vote Democrat and you know that the Democrat Party is going to be killing babies with their votes, that's objectively, you're sending yourself to hell. Now, not too many people are going to say that, but I will, because you know what? I care for souls. I want to see them get to heaven. You can't vote Democrat. You can't. Why? Because it's the culture of death. When we come back, hey, we got Ed on the line up in Northern California. We'll bring him on first, and then we'll talk about this Joe Biden calling killing babies and abortion essential health care. What? This cannot be delayed, he said. You know what can't be delayed? I can delay you being the next president. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio, and we're going to move now to talk about Joe Beijing Biteman, the best friend the Chinese communists have ever had. That's what he is, Terry. Beijing Biteman.
Yeah. Hey, Eddie, Jesse, before we do that, Ed's been on the line waiting. Ed up in Northern California, you want to weigh in on our show, The Terry and Jesse Show. Welcome to The Terry and Jesse Show, Ed.
Hey, thanks, guys. God bless you. Hey, I just got a quick comment or get your insight on something. There is a lot of misinformation out there about this next election and President Trump. And I know, Jesse, you obviously wrote a book about this. Maybe you could weigh in a bit more on this. But one of the false arguments that I hear from people is that abortions went up under the Trump administration, and more money has gone to Planned Parenthood under the Trump administration than ever before. So people are concluding, well, it doesn't really matter if you vote for Trump or not, because you're not doing your job, basically. He's not. And here's my thought, and it's just, okay, this is false information. Why? Because first of all, you're believing Planned Parenthood, and they know they're going to put out the numbers to divide us. Secondly, it's implying that Trump wanted that.
Exactly.
And thirdly,
which is a false assumption. The premise is wrong.
Yep.
Right. And then there's another aspect, which, you know, there was a time when he wanted to give money to Planned Parenthood, I believe, to the other services. They're always, quote, the other services they do. We're not really about abortions. We're about mammograms and helping women. So, you know, at one point, I think he gave money to that, but it was never to fund abortions. But they're probably adding that in there. So, you know, how do we tackle this as if somebody comes up and says, okay, yeah, Trump is giving more money to abortions than any other administration? What do you say?
Well, I think I just answered it in the first segment. The fact is, Bill and Melinda Gates, which are they're the biggest funders of Planned Parenthood on planet Earth.
Yep.
They've just increased their funding to Planned Parenthood by 60%. Okay. They're giving $375 million. That's just the Gates Foundation. So they've increased their donations, and I'm sure so has George Soros and everybody else. And you know what? And they've done it around the country. Actors in Hollywood, there's so many actors that are pledging millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood that they've never pledged before. Why? Specifically because President Trump is in office. Just to spite him. Just to show how against they are of his pro-life policies. So, if, I'm just going to grant the premise, if there are more abortions right now, it's not because of President Trump. It's in spite of him. It's because the liberals are so gemmed up about him being in the White House and being openly pro-life, and they're seeing that Roe versus Wade is hanging in the balance in the next 4 years if he's able to appoint two or three more Supreme Court justices. So the left, which is, by the way, the party of the rich, most people don't realize that, they're giving more money than they've ever given before to Planned Parenthood to try to keep the doors open. So that's the way I would respond to that.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ed.
I really appreciate it.
Ed, one more thing I want to mention. Ed, let me throw something at you, because I know you're very much involved with PrayTheRosary.com's website. I want to talk about possibly the issue, if our churches continue to stay closed, I would like to ask you if you, I would back this, have a rosary crusade where people are praying in front of the state capitol demanding that our churches be opened and that the state would be open to that, because I'm very disappointed that we're sitting on our, you know what, while the churches are closed, yeah. Many people can't go even making a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. or even, you know, go to confession. I mean, this cannot stand, and I think we need a prayerful response, and I think the rosary is the way to go. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. You know, just last night, for example, the Dominican Order at 9 p.m. Central Time called for a worldwide rosary to end the pandemic. And I'd also add to there the importance of, you know, while we're praying the rosary, let's pray for the grace of wisdom, because there is a lot of false information out there about this pandemic, and more is coming to the light. And I'd be for that, because, you know, they're going to make us look like fanaticals and like, oh, you're not being safe. You're not thinking of others. You're being selfish.
Right.
And there's more information coming out saying that that is not true.
That is
not as deadly. And so I'm all for gathering wherever it may be to pray the rosary.
Yeah.
Doing it the right way.
Okay.
And I'd be happy to work on that.
All right. I'll catch up with you, Ed. Thanks for your call, and thanks for what you do to stand up for the truth of our faith. And I really want to commend you for that.
You too.
You got it.
God bless you.
God bless you.
So, yeah, Terry, the presumed Democratic presidential nominee, Beijing Biden, the best friend the communists have ever had. But you know who the best friend the communists have ever had?
Ooh.
Joe Biden and Theodore McCarrick.
Yep.
In case you're wondering, okay? Those are the best friends they've ever had. Two Judases, one a political and the other one a religious Judas.
Yeah.
But Beijing Biden, he's in a virtual town hall. He was with Hillary Clinton. She's endorsed him. Hillary Clinton, the most corrupt administration that we've ever seen in the White House, the Clinton administration.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, Hillary Clinton said abortion is not health care and Joe Biden's exploitation of the... Oh, no, excuse me. This is from a good person. SBA list president Marjorie Dannenfelser, she's on our side. She said this: abortion is not health care, and Joe Biden's exploitation of the COVID-19 crisis to promote abortion on demand is shameful, because Beijing Biden said that abortions are essential health care that cannot be delayed. And Biden has once again proved that he stands for abortion on demand from the moment of birth, paid for by taxpayers. And in doing so, he's not only aligned himself with the failed agenda of Hillary Clinton, which the American people soundly rejected in 2016 when they elected President Trump. But this is a major political liability for him, because he has moved further to the left than any nominee before him in his bid to appease the radical abortion lobby. And Democrats used to call abortion, Bill Clinton actually used this term,
rare,
that it should be safe, legal, and rare.
Yeah. Well,
and now they deem abortion on demand at all costs, even during the pandemic. So, yeah, Bill Clinton's statement has been completely scrapped from their party line.
I just want to mention also, Joe Biden is about 78 years old. He's going to be meeting God soon. He's baptized as a Catholic, and he's in error. In other words, I believe the dialogue over the years with him, he understands that the Catholic Church teaches that every life is sacred. Okay, so he understands what he's doing, and that scares the tar out of me, because I want to see Joe Biden have a massive conversion to his Catholic faith and start standing up for life, because where he's going, not only is he not going to be the president of the United States, but with what his positions are, with his knowledge, he's not going to heaven, because someone like this who knowingly knows that the life that's it's an unborn baby's life, and you knowingly say, no, it's essential that we kill them. Well, you know, Joe Biden, the most merciless thing I could do is say, well, go ahead, whatever, you know, do it. No, I'm going to call you out because I care for you. I want to see you get to heaven, because where you're going right now with your positions are straight to hell, objectively, because you're killing unborn babies. And what is the Ten Commandments? They're not suggestions. Thou shall not murder, the fifth commandment. It's not kill, Jesse. It's murder innocent life.
Yep. And this is kind of good news that polling released by the Susan B. Anthony list, they're on the good side, they're on our side.
Yeah.
In June 2019, they found that a majority, 50% of voters, are less likely to support Joe Biden, Beijing Joe.
Mm-hmm.
35% are strongly less likely to support Beijing Joe following his announcement that he supports using tax dollars to pay for abortions after decades of opposing taxpayer funding of abortion. So he's flipped. He pulled a Judas Iscariot.
Yep.
He completely sold out for money. And this also includes about 55% of independent voters
yep.
who say they are less likely to support Beijing Zhou.
Yeah. Terry? Jesse, I just want to remind everybody, we're going to take a quick break in a few minutes, but I want to get this in. The head of the German bishops says that the coronavirus is not divine punishment since God does not punish. Okay, now this is not just a priest. Is this microphone on when a prelate will say that God doesn't punish people? He's the president of the Germans conference, and he's saying that. Now, here's the thing, Jesse. If you think about someone saying that, you go, well, where did he get to school? What's he? What religion is he? Now, he's also said in his Easter interview, he called for changes. Oh, that doesn't surprise me. Changes like what? Moving furniture? No. Changes on official teachings on practicing homosexuality by jumping over trenches. In addition, he voiced his support for married clergy as well as ordaining women. See, Jesse, these guys that are like this, they're right across the board. They're not in union with the perennial teachings of the church. And if I was a loving layman, I don't care if it's the bishop and he's the president of the bishops' conference. Out of love, I say, Bishop, I need to repent of your positions because they're not in line with Jesus Christ and his church for 2,000 years. Please have a major conversion. Now, why do I say this? Because the German church has been doing this, Jesse, for about 40 or 50 years and doing their own thing. And this is going to cause havoc on the church. And I just wish that leadership above the bishops in Rome would come down and say, listen, you need to get in line with what Jesus Christ taught and not have your personal opinion because you're destroying the unity of the church. We need to have clarity with charity. And the bishops' conference in Germany is undermining Christ and his church's teachings. And I say, pray for them, but also call them out to repent and believe in the gospel. That's my take.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord disciplines, some translations say chastises,
yep.
some say punishes
yep.
him whom he loves.
Biblical.
And chastises, some translations say punishes, every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? So that's the word discipline, chastise, or punish are all interchangeable in that text. It's very, very clear from the Bible. I'm just going to be honest with you. If a bishop says something that does not square with the Holy Bible, guess who I believe?
The Bible, of course.
Simple, the Bible. Because the Bible is above what any bishop says, in case you're wondering. Okay, it's above what the Pope says.
Yep,
it is. If a Pope or a bishop says something that doesn't square with the Bible, guess who Catholics have to follow? The Word of God. Simple.
Bishop Athanasius Snyder says the same thing in the article from LifeSite News. You want to get it. We come back, we'll talk about Governor Cuomo and what he's doing in New York.
Sirach 11:24 says, do not say, I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now? According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
A great Catholic priest by the name of Father John Perconi. I know him. He's a Thomist, philosopher, professor.
Oh, yeah.
He's a traditional Catholic priest. And he's...
he's in New York.
He's in New Jersey.
He stood up to the governor.
He couldn't put up with it. He had to write down about Governor Cuomo's. He calls it his puerile remarks. Puerile means childish or immature. Governor Cuomo's remarks, when he said the other day, quote, "We have turned the corner on the coronavirus plague. It was not faith or prayers that did it. Only hard work and science," close quote. Mm-hmm. So Father Perricone is basically saying, this is classical modernity,
yep,
or modernism. And he said that Governor Cuomo, these words are the words of a modernist madman. Okay? And I like the way he basically says that Cuomo and his type, they've been infected by the Enlightenment culture, Enlightenment thinking. These are the 17th century liberals,
yep,
that began taking over Europe and trying to destroy the Catholic faith. Governor Cuomo and people like him, they're babies, they're offspring of these Enlightenment liberals who are anti-Catholics who tried to destroy the church in Europe. And he says, if Mr. Cuomo and his fellow Enlightenment travelers so esteem knowledge, they should take note that the Catholic Church alone is its greatest proponent of knowledge.
Exactly.
I mean, the very existence of universities, Mr. Cuomo, is owed to the Catholic Church.
Right.
From the earliest medieval cathedrals to the founding of the universities back in the 10th, 11th, and 12th century, and scores of others. I like the way he brings in this whole Frankenstein monster, because here's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Father Perricone writes, when man is without God, the knowledge he discovers is a noose around his neck from which he hangs, or worse. And then he says, Mary Shelley was writing more than a Gothic horror story when she penned the story Frankenstein. It was a premonitory tale, mm-hmm, of a modern world without God, where hard work and science replace faith and prayer. And in the scene, when the monster finally arises from his gurney, he looks down at Dr. Frankenstein and boasts. He says, quote, "You are my creator, and now I am your master," close quote. And this is what's happening with these Enlightenment leaders. In a world without God, man is no longer his own because he does not first belong to God. And St. Thomas Aquinas, he teaches that man is master of himself, not master of reality, only master of himself. And man becomes his own master when he first makes God his master. I love the St. Francis of Assisi prayer, where in that prayer, it's a prayer, Lord, make me a
channel of your peace.
Yes, a channel of your peace. In there, he calls God master.
Mm-hmm.
And so through understanding and free will, a man who has God as his master lives by God's truth. And this is the opposite of what we see Governor Cuomo, a baptized Catholic. He lives by his own truth, not by God's truth, Terry.
But unfortunately, this his madness is not an isolated madness. It permeates the whole culture that we're in. And Jesse, when I read this article, I thought of the quote back in the 5th century from St. Pope Felix III when he said, "Not to oppose error is to approve it. Not to defend truth is to suppress it. And indeed, to neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them." And Jesse, I'm saying that our bishops, and now we have a good bishop, you know, doing up till later tomorrow's show, I'm going to use that. But there are some strong bishops that are coming out and telling their governors, "No, you're telling us we can't do. We can worship God. This is our right." Well, what am I saying? But when good people do nothing, evil abounds. And so, what Governor Cuomo's doing, and if people don't acknowledge that this is wrong, then we just kind of roll over. And Jesse, do you know what happens to a lot of people that don't fight for their rights? You know what? Look at what happened to the Jews in Germany, Jess, when they didn't fight for their rights. They got put into ovens. And I'm not saying that we're going to be put into ovens, but I will say this. If we keep doing nothing responding to our rights being taken when it comes to religious rights, then, you know, you might as well just roll over. Because what the Holy Father said in the 5th century about not opposing error, that it's a sin of omission not to stand up for the truth. Well, right now, Jesse, we need more people of goodwill to stand up for the truth, because our rights as religion rights are going way south, and we need to stand up, because if we don't, who will?
Yep, and that's why I wrote this book, A Catholic Vote for Trump, because if this man does not get put in office in 2020, guess what's going to happen?
Oh.
You know the gains we've had in religious liberty?
All gone.
Boy, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
And you know what? President Trump had a phone call with the U.S. bishops and with the governing body, and he told them.
Yep.
He told them.
Yep.
If the opposition comes into power in the White House, you Catholics are going to lose your religious liberties. I am so glad that the president told all the governing body of the USCCB. He warned them. He said, basically, you guys don't have a better friend in the White House than me. That's what he was saying.
Yep.
And he was saying, If the other side comes in and takes over the White House, you Catholics are going to lose big time. I am so glad he told them that.
Oh, you have to.
And I hope it made the bishops shake in their boots and made them realize, you know what? He's right. And Terry, I'll tell you another thing that I like what Father Perricone says.
Yeah.
He says that the 20th century was the graveyard of these triumphs of these Enlightenment people, these secularists. He says, "Beware, one can easily be distracted by the seeming collapse of most of the totalitarians, resulting in a lazy trust of the age. Today, a more genteel totalitarian has appeared." In other words, it's softer, but it's the same thing.
It's there.
It's the same ideology. Oh, yeah. It's just softer. He goes, "Yeah, there's no more gulags. I get that. But now we have abortion clinics. Yeah, there's no more Dr. Mengele's experimenting upon children.
Yeah.
But now there are governors applauding infanticide.
Right.
Yeah, there's no more KGB, so to speak, that we know of. But now there's an unforgiving thought police patrolling campuses and for impermissible conservative speech."
Yes.
There's no more Dachau's, but now there's parents happily surrendering their children to gender reassignment, or giddily cheering their six-year-olds as they're entertained by drag queens in the local public library. Yeah, there's no more Pol Pot's killing fields, but now we have the regnant ideology proclaiming biological sex differences as bigotry. Yeah, there's no more Stalin blowing up churches after church, but now we have the shuttering of religious freedom under the veneer of equal rights. So what's the point Father Perricone is saying? Yeah, he's doctor also. When God is banished, only chaos ensues, and this is what we see coming from Cuomo and coming from the governor in California, Terry, as well.
And Jesse, I want to tell people, Father Frank Pavone, Jess Romero, and myself are on Mic'd Up on the Michael Voris as Mic'd Up Church Militant for tomorrow, and that will be out. And we spend about 30 minutes talking on the issue of the election as a Catholic. So I want to encourage our listeners to listen to that, because we just tell it like it is. And Father Frank Pavone, as you know, from Priest for Life, is not afraid to speak out I just wish Jesse Romero would have come out a little bit more next time. I'm joking, Jess. No, this is going to be something that I want to encourage people to listen to. Also, I want to just remind people that we have a spiritual petition to have at every show, and that is the Five Stones of David, because we know that if we're not praying, we'll never survive anything. And that's why tomorrow's show will be on the power of prayer and how to pray with Father Charles Murr. But Jess, what are those five stones that we encourage our listeners to do every day?
Let me just mention one more thing in the article. We'll go right to the five stones.
You got it.
Father Perricone says, Governor Cuomo's madness is not an isolated madness.
That's right. Yep.
It permeates the culture.
Yep.
But not all the culture has succumbed to us. Again, you know, God knows that there's a remnant out there. And I know all of you are part of that remnant. Terry and me, we're part of that remnant.
Yep.
We're part of that remnant. We're not going to bow down to Caesar. We're not going to worship Baal. And the last thing I'll say is, and Father Pavone, he's told me several times, he forwarded my book, A Catholic Vote for Trump. He said, right now, Jess, I'm telling you because he's an insider, and I can't say any more than that. But Father Pavone has said that President Trump has promised Catholics that he will never enforce the Johnson Amendment. So what's the Johnson Amendment? It's that provision in the U.S. tax code that was inserted in 1954 by the Democrats that prohibits all 501c3 nonprofit organizations from endorsing or opposing political candidates. That's never going to be enforced under President Trump. And in fact, he says, if I take over Congress one day, we will congressionally get rid of that from the U.S. tax code. But going back to our five stones, this is what's most important for us as Catholics.
Yep.
We got to wake up, Catholics. Don't hit the snooze button. First stone to defeat the Goliath that we call the culture of death.
Yep.
Again, pray the rosary every day from your heart. Remember, the rosary was given to us by Our Lady in 1214 AD to defeat heresy. Number two, spiritual communion every day. For those of you that have churches open, visit the Lord every day. For those of you that have chapels open, visit the Lord every day. For those of you that can't get to a church, send your guardian angel to visit Jesus for you.
Amen.
Or go and park outside of the parking lot and just spend some time with Jesus, praying to him and just reading God's word, which brings you to the third stone. Read the Bible every day. Bump up your Bible reading. We have time right now. Before you read the Bible, open the printed page, make the sign of the cross and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And read the daily mass readings and read the daily mass readings and ask God, "Lord, speak to me, teach me." The fourth thing, on Fridays, hey, it's a day of penance. Whatever you want to do on Friday, canon law says Friday is always penitential for Catholics. Bump up your penitential practices. You can continue abstaining from meat. You can continue fasting also on Fridays. Remember, Christ said that some demons in Mark 9:29 can only be driven out by prayer and fasting. And finally, go to confession. If you're in a state of mortal sin, find a priest to go to confession to. How do you stay in a state of grace? At least monthly confession.
Awesome.
If you're in a state of mortal
sin,
go as soon as possible. Examine your conscience before you go to sleep at night and ask God to give you the grace to make a perfect act of contrition and do so every single night before you go to bed.
And as your spiritual fitness trainer, don't forget, he who wants to win the world for Christ must have the courage to come in conflict with it. And we have to come in conflict with unjust laws. Jess Romero, what state should we be living in, brother?
Last time I checked, let's live in a state of grace, not in a state of panic.
Nope.
Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Don't live in the state of despair. Don't live in the state of hopelessness. Live in the state of grace, and all things will be well. As St. Father de Pio says, or St. Augustine, if you live well, if you pray well, you will live well. If you live well, you will die well. If you die well, all will be well.
Tomorrow, Father Charles Murr will join us. We're going to be talking on prayer and how prayer affects one's life and how to pray. This is going to be a great, great show where it's going to teach you to have more confidence in your communication with God. May God richly bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.